Yes, it's Tuesday, April 30. The Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you if you are just tuning in. Great to have Brad Rosen joining us this morning. Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald coming up shortly. Still to come, Toby Bedford, GWS forward, ahead of the big derby against the Swans, will join us in the next half an hour as well. Clay Smith after 7:30, former AFL Premiership player with the Western Bulldogs, now boxer, and he's fighting on Saturday in Melbourne. We'll have a chat with him. Luke Bratton, City FC captain and midfielder, ahead of their elimination final against MacArthur, and Denny Widler in an hour's time as well for all the latest NRL news. So plenty to come still this morning. Luke Keary is retiring at the end of the season, was the big story yesterday. Now also, Daly Cherry Evans off to the judiciary for the first time in his career tonight, seeking a downgrade on a grade two dangerous throw for that tackle on Sean Lane. Now also in that tackle, Homoli Olakau'atu copped his 2 weeks yesterday. So DCE looking for a downgrade. If he is successful, he'll cop a fine and be free to play the Raiders on Friday. He'll miss 3 games, though, if he fails. Now, Tane Milne also copped a 2-week suspension for that tackle on Cameron Munster on Anzac Day as well. But DCE certainly, well, hence Olakau'atu loss, took the 2 weeks. DCE had, less involvement in the tackle, but does he get a downgrade tonight?
I think he might. I think he might. I watched it a couple of times again yesterday.
He's sort of...
I thought he had more. I must admit, watching it live, I thought he had more of a role in the flipping.
He didn't really, though, did he?
It sort of looked like he did, then the hands come off.
I felt, to me, it felt like he just pushed that little bit, but that, in a sense, turned...
It is, but he's looking for a downgrade.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
So he's looking for a downgrade. So if he gets the downgrade, he'll be able to play. I think he's a big chance of getting the downgrade.
I wanted to ask you, Loz, with that downgrade, is it based on, it doesn't matter really what happened in the tackle, because, you know, like, okay, well, we know what he's done. It wasn't a good-looking tackle.
No,
with what
it wasn't,
happened,
no.
Right?
And they're the ones we're trying to get rid of out of the game.
And that's my point, yeah. Like, if you give a downgrade, we're okay with the tackles, so we'll downgrade. How does that... That's what I'm...
It's a good point. But they would say, and I would probably believe it, that the other guy, Olakau'atu, played a leading role.
Oh, no question. Yeah, I agree with that.
So because he was the main perpetrator...
Yes.
...so to speak, he Daly Cherry Evans was a lesser role. So why should they both get graded the same?
But if DC wasn't there, does that tackle happen?
Oh, I think the tackle still happens.
Yeah, okay.
Probably doesn't land
as bad as it
looks.
As
bad. Yeah. Look, when I watched it live, I thought...
Both of them.
Both, yeah. Yeah, right. This is pretty heavy. And then I watched it a couple of times yesterday, and I sort of started to change my mind a little bit, because I didn't... I thought DC had him all the way sort of to the ground and then sort of released right at the end.
It was more of a push,
Yeah. So
and you got to look at the history, never been suspended.
Well, that's the other thing too. Yeah. I think you take all that into consideration. He's a clean skin, so I think they've got a very good chance, actually.
We'll get Adam Pengilly's thoughts on this. How are you, Adam?
Morning, Mido. Morning, boys.
What happens to DCE tonight at the judiciary?
Yeah. Oh, I agree with Loz. I think he's a decent chance of getting a downgrade. I know there's been a lot of talk about his record and his teammates, quite naturally, came out and supported him yesterday and said, well, he's played more than 300 games of NRL and hasn't been suspended before. That's got to count for something, surely. I was like you, Loz. I was watching the tackle again yesterday, and I just think DCE got his body position in a really sort of awkward position and sort of allowed Sean Lane to be slung across him rather than sort of getting in front of him and stopping his, I suppose, his movement forwards towards line or his momentum. But I still think that Homoli Olakau'atu had the major role to play in that tackle. Yeah. Now, I might be wrong, but he was down lower and obviously had the lifting motion. DCE sort of just, I don't know, just went with him almost, didn't he, really?
I thought he had more of an involvement, DCE, but then when I watched it a few times yesterday, I realised he didn't, in my view of it.
Was 2 weeks enough, Adam, for the fact of his involvement?
Yeah, I think it's okay, Brad, to be honest. Okay. I think it's okay. I looked at it again a couple of times yesterday. And I thought, no, I think Homoli's definitely the main culprit in this tackle, and DCE has just sort of gone with it and and sort of almost got his body out of the way to allow Sean Lane to follow through towards the ground. I'm not saying he's completely in the innocent here, DCE, but I just think that Homoli was the main instigator. DCE, yes, had played a role, but I think it's a lesser degree of a role than what Olakau'i did.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I think he gets the downgrade, which therefore allows him to play on the weekend. And I do like the fact that they I'm hoping they take into consideration. He's played 300 games and never been suspended. Yeah. So I think that deserves recognition as well. I don't know what your thoughts are.
No, I agree, 100%. Like, it's got to count for something, right? We pride ourselves, or guys pride themselves on being clean players and having good judiciary records. The guy's played for well and truly more than a decade of rugby league. It's never been suspended at all. That's got to play into the calculations of judiciary, I would have thought anyway. Now, I could be wrong. They might say, no, we don't care. We're just going to judge this incident on its own merit. But I would think, being such a clean skin with such a good record, that's got to help him surely when he walks in there tonight.
I agree. The only thing that comes into mind is we're trying to get rid of those tackles. It's not, you know, a shoulder charge or something like that. Look, let's move on to the other big news. Luke Geary. That's love to get your thoughts on that one.
Yeah, surprise, Brad, isn't it, really? No one sort of saw this coming, particularly after the Roosters announced, what was it, a month or two ago, that he's going to play on for another year in 2025. It's just quite bizarre, isn't it? But clearly Luke has had a change of thought. He's done some thinking with his family and friends in the last month or so and decided that now's the time to pull up stumps and finish his career at the end of 2024. And what a great player he's been, first and foremost. He's been fantastic for such a long period of time across both the Roosters and South Sydney, obviously winning three competitions. And he plays the game so much above his weight. Like, he's such a courageous player, Luke Geary, and we always sort of marvel about his skill and his ability to break down defences. I want to remember him for his ability to put his body in front of opposition players and stand his ground. I think that's been one of his biggest attributes. I suppose the flow and effect now is that the Roosters have got a hell of a lot of money to spend, don't they, really? With all these guys leaving the club, like Kiri, Joseph Manu, Joseph Suoliti, Jared Warrior-Hargreaves, obviously question marks around Daniel Tupou. They're going to want to make a splash in the player market. And it's probably, to be fair, at a pretty awkward time of year, because most of the guys are, or most of the decent free agents have been long locked up for next year. But it is rugby league. Something will always happen. If the Roosters come knocking for a player, who knows? There'll be players willing to go to Bondi, I reckon.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because there's not a lot off contract this year. 2025 there is, but you're right, things change on rosters all the time, and the Roosters, if they've got this war chest at their disposal, they might be very persuasive in trying to, you know, see what they can come up with and what deal they can organise. What about South Sydney? Where are they at? We know they've got the board meeting tonight or today with Jason Demetriou about his future and what else is happening at South Sydney. But Lachlan Ilias, he's been granted a release or the opportunity to go and talk to other clubs, which they will do. And the arrival of young Dodd from England, what does this mean for Lachlan Ilias, and what does it mean for the club, and what does it mean for Jason Demetriou? Can you see him surviving? How does it all play out in the end?
Yeah, first of all, on Lachlan Ilias, Loz, I can't see him staying in South Sydney. Not now. Not with the signing of Lewis Dodd. What an amazing turn of events, given that last year, Jason Demetriou, remember, I think it was last year, came out and said, this guy will be the best halfback South Sydney's had in recent history for a very long time. Well, look at it right now. He's literally on the way out the door at the moment. We know he's got that horrible injury he suffered in New South Wales Cup, which means he probably won't play rugby league again this year. But his manager, Brayton Astor, has been quite forthright, saying, well, I've asked the club for permission to negotiate elsewhere. That permission's been granted. South Sydney won't stand in his way. It's just a matter of which club's going to be the right fit for him. Could you see him at the Roosters, Loss? I don't know if I could see him at the Roosters, but certainly they've got a halves opening there. They'll stick with Sandon Smith and give him first crack, I think, next year. But tell you what, it might be a natural sort of transition for him to head across to the Roosters.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think Sam Walker is established as their number seven, long-term number seven. I don't know whether Lachlan could play 5'8". You know, if there wasn't too many options around as a starting number seven, yeah, it could be an opportunity to go there for 12 months and learn his trade. But I think he'd be thinking to himself, he's a starting number seven, and he'll go to a club where they're desperately in need of a seven. You know, and there's, you know, a couple that spring to mind, you know, Titans, the Dogs. There's been some mention of the Dogs. So I'd say he'd look at that before he'd look at the Roosters.
What about the Cowboys? Chad Townsend is off contract and still hasn't re-signed for next year. They potentially might be looking for a halfback.
Yeah, interesting one, isn't it? Because I know how experienced halfbacks are still hard to come by. And the impact that they have on a football team is still strong. So if you get Chad Townsend at the right price, I'd be keeping him, I think. If I was the Cowboys, I wouldn't be releasing him.
Just letting him go. Go for it, Adam.
Just on Jason Demetrio, quickly, Mido. Obviously, the board's meeting this morning. South Sydney's board meeting is meeting this morning. I don't have a great read on what they're going to do this morning. Obviously, we'll learn some news as the day progresses. I just don't know what has changed in the last 2 weeks since after their bye, as opposed to that loss to Melbourne on Anzac night where they decided to get rid of him today, but they didn't get rid of him 2 weeks ago. Like, I know they were pretty poor against Melbourne after the bye and obviously got a pretty big score wrapped up against them, but I think most people expected Melbourne to win that game. Does one game really change that board's thinking from what they went through a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, well,
doesn't for me. No, I'm surprised it won't happen. But how do you get rid of him now when they're playing Penrith this week?
Well,
no,
48 hours before they take on Penrith. I tell you what, though, if they've made their mind up today that he goes and they have a massive win against Penrith, highly unlikely, but if they do,
Ian Foster at the All Blacks, remember, Loz? They beat South Africa, he was gone. The All Blacks coach.
Yeah, but
then they won in South Africa.
But they gave him till the end of the year.
Exactly, yeah. Just some racing news quickly. Imperatrix, of course, recently retired from racing and set to be sold, Adam.
Magic Millions, Mido. Later next month, May 28th, they've confirmed that she'll go under the hammer at public auction, given that Tiaka want to, I suppose, disperse with her in terms of the ownership. How much do you reckon she'll fetch? Like, there's some forecast of up to $5 million.
Wow.
And breaking the record for a brood mare or a mare being sold in Australia. I tell you what, she'd probably go close, you would think.
Have to.
What's the bloke from America doing?
Well, actually, he's already tweeted, actually.
Like, oh, has he?
I saw him put something out there saying, oh, she looks like she'll be a fantastic addition to what we're trying to do worldwide. She'll be great for our brood mare band. So no doubt John Stewart will be on the phone and he'll be bumping up the price there somewhere. So she probably could go past $5 million. All you need is one more person to bid against him and that price will go through the roof, I would have thought.
Thank you, Adam.
See you, boys. Chat tomorrow.
Well, it is the Swans and the Giants at the SCG on Saturday afternoon. Joining us now, 23 years old in his second year at the club after he started his career at the Demons. GWS forward, Toby Bedford. Toby, a very good morning. How are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Really well, thanks. Appreciate your time on Swans Week, second v third. I know you always say you approach each game the same, but surely there's an extra edge this week, is there?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, every time we play the Swans, there's always an extra edge around the club. There's always a bit of a buzz. And, like you said, second versus third, so both in form, so it's just going to be extra hot.
Toby, I wanted to ask, if I'm not mistaken, 13 wins last year, already 6 this year. What do you feel is the biggest difference? Because you just seem better team, more confident, looking good, running fast. What's the biggest change?
I think it's just, last year, first year with a new coach. So this year we just built on our roles and we just know the game plan, game structure a bit better than last year. So and then just following on from that momentum we had last year towards the end of the year, we went something like 8 in a row or 9 in a row there. And then so we're just trying to build on that from last year and we started off the season in that way. So hopefully we can keep going as well.
Yeah, Toby, sometimes when you start the season like this, 6-1, you think everything is rosy. But internally, you know that there's areas of the game that continually need to be addressed. Without giving too much away, what are the coaches happy with and not so happy with?
Yeah, it's a great point. We go through our game review, every time we play on the weekend, and there's always our work ons, and sometimes it's just defensively, sometimes it's offensively, it just depends on game to game. So, for the most part, we're pretty pleased because, like you said, we are 6-0, but we still find ways to get better. And like I said, it can be both offensively and defensively at times. It just depends on what worked that week and what didn't.
I'm sure you'll be happy to have your teammate Sam Taylor return down back after that concussion, that awful concussion. What was it against St Kilda 2 or 3 weeks ago there, Toby? And he said yesterday there is a lot of dislike as far as on the field.
of the Swans within your club, and that the Swans are chirpy, they're a bit smug, he said. And it seemed to emanate from this pre-season match in particular. What happened in that match to really, I guess, get under your, well, you know, get under your skin, I suppose, there at the Giants?
Yeah, it'd be great to have him back. Obviously, he needs to get through the next two sessions, and then he's all ticked off. But, he's a competitor as well, Slammer. So, you know, he hates losing, and, you know, we lost that. They got the better of us that game, and, you know, they may have been a bit chirpy. So, and then same thing with at the end of the last year. We played them at our home ground, and they just got the better of us, and, you know, there was a few words exchanged. And, I just think, like I said, it's a battle of the bridge, so it's always a bit fiery. So you never like losing to them, and then when you do and there's a bit of words said, it always makes it hard. So, we'll go in with a big fire in our belly and hopefully get a win.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. Would you say go in with the fire in the belly? This week, Isaac Heaney, look, you know, right up there as talk on the Brownlow, playing really good, but you're also going to be playing in what's probably going to be a bit of a mud runner with the weather and everything. What's the game plan? How do you guys go into this?
We won't try and change too much. We'll continue to want to play our game style, but obviously conditions will matter a little bit, so we will have to adjust a few things. But like you said, Isaac Heaney's in great form, but we're getting the likes back of Toby Green as well, who didn't really, who missed a game on the weekend as well. And, you know, this time last year, he actually kicked the winning goal against them. So, I think, you know, they've got star players, and so do we. So it's going to be a great game.
Yeah. Toby, can I ask, I don't know whether you've done your review on the Swans yet or not, but given that the Swans transitioned after Buddy, have they sort of set up any differently this season compared to what they have done under those years when Buddy was there up forward?
Yeah, look, I'm not entirely sure because we actually haven't done our review yet, but we did play them last year at the back end of the year when he wasn't playing. So
right.
It won't be anything that's out of the ordinary for us because, he didn't play in one of the – or maybe even both. No, sorry, one of the games last year when we played him. So we won't be expecting anything out of the ordinary from them and that kind of setup.
And your own forward line, Toby, I mean, with the likes of Jesse Hogan, Aaron Cadman, yourself, Toby Green, as you mentioned, set to come back after being suspended for that match against the Lions last week. I mean, overall, how do you feel like your forward line's functioning?
Yeah, unreal. Hmm. Unreal. We've got a few others as well that are playing really good football, and like Brent Daniels, and also a few young boys, you know, and Dustin Jones, who debuted on the weekend, and Harvey Thomas, who's played all year, and they're just playing really good football. So, it's going to be tougher spots for the rest of the year if everyone keeps up this form, because it already is at the moment. But, it's great for us and great for our footy team.
Yeah, it must keep everyone on their toes, Toby, knowing that you've got great depth. You went into last week's game without Toby. Cornelio wasn't there. Sam Taylor wasn't there. So everyone's under the pump to be able to stay in the team.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it's just going to drive us to play better football and make us better players, whether you're playing the ones or the twos at the moment, because everyone will want to play. And obviously, we're in pretty good form as well, so everyone likes winning. So, trying to change a winning team or trying to get into a winning team is going to be extremely hard. So once you're in, you want to kind of hold your spot.
Well, it's going to be some afternoon, eagerly anticipated. All these derbies becoming really significant now, considering both clubs are very successful. So looking forward to it. Appreciate your time and go well on Saturday.
No worries. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Great stuff, Toby Bedford. And a reminder of the market with Tab, it is tight. The Swans are $1.80. Just favourites, the Giants, $2. Leicester City have confirmed the championship this morning with a 3-0 win against Preston away. Jamie Vardy scored a double, so Leicester back in the Premier League next season and have won the championship. So it's just a matter of whether Leeds United or Ipswich Town joins them in the automatic promotion spots for next year. Now, Bradley Rosen joining us this morning.
Good morning.
And in the midst of the NBA playoffs, yes. Might get some tips off you for today.
Ooh,
so 9:30 this morning, Eastern Standard Time. Mm-hmm. The Miami Heat are plus 10.5 or $5 head-to-head against the Boston Celtics, who are $1.19. The Celtics coming off a 64-win season. Lost game two, incredibly, but then they came back and just pummeled the Heat in game three. Mm. And yeah, the Heat have been, well, these two sides have met the last two seasons, haven't they,
yes.
in the playoffs?
Yes.
And, of course, last year was a massive shock when Miami
knocked them out. Yep.
Knocked them out. Just seeing today, oh, Jimmy Butler's out.
Yeah, no, that's not. Look.
And he's out for a couple of weeks at least, so he's done for
the season. He's like Giannis for the Bucks. It's not going to happen.
Terry Rozier's out today as well. Oh, look, the Celtics go 3-1 up here, don't they?
Look, they should. This is, as crazy as it sounds, this is such a big game for Boston, right? They needed to dominate the first round because they've got the yips, there's no question. They lost minimal games at home and then they dropped game two. And what does everyone say? Here comes Boston. They're not going to get through. Are they going to win it and all those things? So, yes, Boston to win this. Yes, they'll get the three. They'll get the series. But, oh, I tell you what. They play New York in the East.
Bring it on.
New York are going to feel so confident.
They could get jittery.
They will. But anyway, Celts to win that today.
Okay. There's two other games today. Yep. New Orleans, the Pelicans at home in game four, at $2.60 trying to save their season, plus 4.5 at the line. OKC, $1.52. Josh Giddey's side, of course. And Aaron asks on the text line earlier, hey, Brad, why can't OKC win the NBA title?
It's a good question, Aaron. The simple answer is they just don't have the experience at the moment. That's how I find it. I think they're a good team. They're an outstanding regular season team, hence why they won the top. They've got great players, but they haven't. I still think they're missing one or two of those pieces where it gets down the stretch. You know, that go-to guy. I mean, Shea's great, there's no question, but I just don't think they can win it, but they win this series, and I think they finish it today.
Yeah. Take the $1.52, okay. And the Denver Nuggets, who were 3-1 up against the Lakers, having won, well, they were 3-0 up, and then the Lakers saved their season in Game 4. So it heads back to Denver today. This game's at midday, and the market with Tab has the Nuggets at $1.39, or minus 6.5 at the line. The Lakers are $3.10. With Tab, and it's delaying the inevitable, isn't it?
It is.
With the Lakers.
The Lakers lose this series because they don't win enough games during the regular season. I think AD and LeBron have had outstanding playoff series, averaging 30 and 28 respectively. They're good. But when you've got to come up against the defending champions and the second seed, like they should be second, third, fourth seed. That's where the Lakers need to be. So they're playing a Philly, not Philly, obviously, but they're playing a Western Conference team that's lower down, like the Pelicans, like, whoever that may be, Dallas and things like that. So, great to get that win. We spoke last Friday on the show and I said they'll win one. I really did think they were going to do enough Denver than this one. But what's an interesting stat is the Lakers have been up. I don't know what exactly they've said. It's like 60% of the series, the Lakers have been in front.
So what do you put that down to, Brad? Obviously, they start well then.
But supporting cast.
It's
the supporting cast. They're like the two big, great, no problems. The supporting cast, when they have big games and they have had big games, LeBron and AD do their bit and they win. But the supporting cast have been too up and down and volatile, and you need those players.
There's no greater example than D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, perfect.
He could just disappear.
Have seven threes.
Exactly.
And when he plays like that, that's what you need. And that's been their downfall, really, for the past two, three seasons.
Gosh, LeBron, though, he's going to go around again, though, isn't he?
His son's in the draft this year too, and he
goes to Lakers.
Oh, look, I don't think so.
Anyone pick him up? Is he good enough to be picked up first?
Look, I think he's good enough. Right. I think if he had that little heart issue last year, which was a very nerve wracking thing for the family, obviously, but teams would be a bit nervous on that. You'll also worry a little bit, like, am I taking on this kid that's a very big background situation. So, but it would be interesting if he goes Lakers, but I don't see it.
Right. And what's, while I've got you, I want to ask you, like the Aussies in the draft, how are we looking? And is there anyone that played in our league this year that is looking at going high?
Not draft this year so good for Australia.
Right.
In fact, I'm not even sure if we've got one, but if it is, it's late second rounds. But there's the next stars for Alex Saar is the one who played for Perth this year.
Yep.
The theory is he will go 1, 2, or 3 in this draft.
Wow.
Now, I don't want to discredit the draft. This is not the greatest draft that we've had, right? So in NBA. So what I'm saying is the pick of the players is not there like it has been in previous years. Last year was amazing. Wembanyama goes to San Antonio. Yep. But this year it's not. Alex Saar, there's talk he'll go to Detroit. He's a big 7-footer, runs the lane, shoots the three, very good. Another a Frenchman like Wembanyama, so I think he will get drafted up. There's a few other guys that played in our league this year, but they late first round, early second, if we're lucky. But Alex Saar's the one.
Yep.
Fellas, Clay Smith, he played 55 games for the Western Bulldogs. He was in the forward line when they beat the Swans to win the 2016 Premiership. Now, injuries, which included 3 knee reconstructions, ended his AFL career at 25. He's now 30, in fact, almost 31. And he won his first professional bout in boxing in December. On Saturday, he fights in the Pretender to Contender card at Melbourne Pavilion. He's fighting Damien Locke, who used to play for Carlton in the AFL as well. That card, by the way, is headed by the Australian middleweight title fight between, well, horse trainer, who we spoke to recently on the show, Mitch Leek, and Adrian Rodriguez. So, great to speak to Clay Smith, who joins us this morning. Morning, Clay, how are you?
Morning, lads, I'm good, very well.
4 days out. How are the confidence levels this deep into the preparation?
Yeah, they're very high at the moment. Obviously, it's been a hard slog over the last 3 months. All the hard work's pretty much done now, apart from Saturday night where we get to get in and have some fun. But this week's more freshen up and make sure the weight's on point for Friday at the weigh-ins. The gloves come on and we put on the show.
Tell us about that process then this week. What weight are you fighting at that you have to get to and how are you going to do it? What's the plan?
Well, I'm going to get down to 76.2, which is... When my trainer Ty first told me, I thought it was ridiculous. I played footy at 85, so I'm dropping 9 kilos on that. I've had fights at 78, but weight's fine, mate. I weigh myself every morning at the moment just to make sure. I was 77.9 this morning, so about a kilo and a half off, and so weigh in on Friday, and we should get there pretty easy in the end. But start of camp. I wasn't quite sure how I was going to get down to 76. I didn't know if it was possible with the body I had.
Yeah, and what about boxing, mate? The differences between boxing and football in terms of the team environment and the individual environment. And why did you want to get involved in boxing?
Yeah, I guess it's still a team environment. I got into boxing probably for my mental side to start with. I lost all that competitive. I wasn't allowed to play sport anymore and sort of was battling and I needed something to focus on and get fit again. And that was probably the first outlet. And then, had a couple of fights and then Team Alice got me on their cards and just the people out there in the gym and the environment. It's a really good place to be around and keeps me out of trouble, keeps me fit and you can make some money out of it too, but it's probably just that little bit of competitive drive that I needed to burn that candle a little bit more and still got a fair bit left in the tank in that area. And as long as I'm not sprinting around, changing direction and tackling and stuff, then I can walk around a boxing ring and throw my hands just fine. Mm.
And how far do you want to go with it? Is it an Australian title something you'd look at or world title? What, like, where are you at?
Still very early on in my career, obviously. Second pro fight this Saturday. Had 4 fights before that, just in the amateur. Not too sure how far I want to go. But definitely going to stick at it for a little while yet. Probably another 4 or 5 years, and we'll see how the body holds up. But as long as the head can take it and the body can take it, then, we'll wait and see where it goes. But just looking to obviously verse someone better each time and test myself every time and doing that with Damien. Obviously, I think he's had 11 pro fights. So the last guy I fought had only had 1. So, it's a bit of a step up, someone with a bit more experience in the ring, but really looking forward to it.
Clay, I was looking forward to talk to you because one of the things that came to my mind when I heard you were on is I'd love to know an AFL player that has three knee reconstructions, then going into boxing. I heard you say before you can get around the ring. The challenge to do that in a boxing environment, because you know how much you've got to push off your legs, but also the mental side. How have you coped with that?
I'm a pretty stubborn person, to be honest. As long as I can, if I can physically do it, then I'll do it. It doesn't mean I'm not in pain some sessions. Like we still do some runs and stuff with boxing, but my hips gives me a bit of grief as well these days. I think just I had three recos and three clean outs on the right knee, so I probably overloaded the left side of my hip a little bit much, and that needs a clean out at some stage too. But as long as I can still jog and walk around, and I'm going to do something physical and something competitive, and boxing scratches that itch. Play a little bit of golf as well, but boxing's definitely given me a bit of a drive.
Yeah, you mentioned the tough times that you've been through then, Clay, with three ACL injuries, and obviously AFL was the sport that you loved and you wanted to play till you retired, but that was taken away from you. And we've spoken on this program, and we spoke about it today, about the mental health of players and finding something after football. And it's difficult when it's taken away from you, when it's not your decision. And you mentioned your mental health. How did you cope? But also, what advice would you give to others when all of a sudden your footy career has stopped and it's been taken away from you?
Yeah, it is definitely hard. And if I'm being honest, I didn't cope for two and a half years. I probably went to the darkest time in my life and was in a pretty bad place, and it wasn't until I finally spoke up and got help that I started to come out the other side. But it was a long process. I was seeing a psychiatrist and psychologist for 2 years, and it was probably just finding the things that made me happy in life again. And I got back involved with footy, and I started coaching down at Willie C. Wise as an assistant, moved out to Point Cook, did a year there as an assistant, and this is my second year as a head coach out there now. So That was sort of a big help, and boxing was the other. Just finding something that I could do, and I always liked training, liked to compete. So that was probably my thing to compete in, but also just the coaching side, and probably just knowing that I still belong in footy, still have a part to play. I can still pass on knowledge, help other kids get better, help other men get better, and have an impact on a football club.
The fitness and everything would be there, obviously, from the AFL, but to be able to go into the boxing ring, how much has Team Ellis Boxing, which you are with, how much has that helped you progress your boxing career and improve your skills?
Yeah, heaps. And as you said before in that introduction, blokes like Mitch Leake, who's fighting for the Australian title this Saturday night, just being around blokes like that, Tommy Fitzgerald, Tuan Farm, like, there's some amazing people down there. Mike was Rafa trains in the gym, Taylor Harris, like, they've got some world-class boxers down there, and the trainers, Ty and Topic, and everyone else down at the gym. Like, it's just a great environment to train in, and the boys that you train with, they just push you. And then I guess just your competitive juices just get flowing, and you want to try and better each other, but it's only helping each other get better. So, like, we run Heartbreak Hill. We train 3-4 times a week. We're there Friday night at 7:30. Like, you're putting in the hours when everyone else is out partying or drinking or doing whatever they're doing. So there's sacrifices that you got to make, but I don't know, like, it's just nice, probably just staying focused and keeping healthy.
Here's your chance, Clay. Is there an opposition player or an ex-opposition player you'd love to having take on in the ring? Or a teammate? Surely there was a chirpy teammate that you'd love to put one on.
Oh, no. Me and Livy used to have good little scraps back in the Bulldogs days. We did a bit of body sparring. But a lot of the blokes Toby Green's probably one that comes to mind that you wouldn't mind throwing the gloves on with. We had a couple of run-ins. Look, don't get me wrong. I think Toby's a ripper player. And I think if you played with him, you'd absolutely love him. But when you play against him, it's a different story. Too focused, I guess, on the footy side of it at the moment. It's probably more going down the boxing side. And at the start, it was probably that sort of thing. And it just so happens that Damien Locke did play footy, but obviously had 11 pro fights now. So, look, if something like that comes along, then we'll do it. Obviously, it'd be a good show and a fair few people would want to watch a few of those. But I sort of leave my opposition up to my trainer.
Yeah. Well, a mate of mine was Paul Gallen, and Gal made a lot of money out of it.
Yeah.
He made a lot. Yeah, could did. Be the path you go down.
Clay, we really appreciate your time. Go well Saturday night against Damien Locke.
Yeah, look, I better give a shout-out to the two work boys. I've got Geordie Noir and Will Sparks over there. They're listening in. So I'm not working stuff. At the moment and sitting in the car, so I better give them a shout-out.
Great stuff. Mate, thanks heaps. Enjoy.
No worries. Thanks, mate.
Mido, can I jump in there? I've got to ask Loza. You just asked that question. Mm. Who are yours? Who do you want to get in the ring with?
None of them.
Yeah. you're a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, you can't help. What's that?
You are.
Yeah, I can't hold my hands up.
Oh, mate, I couldn't.
No, I admit to not being able to hold my hands up.
Gee, Marlo's 2 weeks away.
Even when I've had a few, I'm not a fighter.
Mate, only punch I do is drink.
Yeah.
Drink a punch.
Just punch, it. Yeah.
I'm terrible.
No, I'm terrible. Yeah. I run.
Did you get any scraps and games, like throwing punches?
Yeah, broke my hand on my 21st birthday.
Wow. Who on?
Bloke by the name of Phil Ford's head.
Hello, Phil Ford.
Phil Ford from England.
Mate, he missed the first test match
at Wembley.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I remember that.
I was going in to protect the biggest man in the world, Mark McGaw. It was a 2v1, which was unfair.
He was a gladiator. Yeah. He went on the gladiators. Yeah.
I went in and bang, broke my hand straight away.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at that. Yeah, you can see a bit of a bump there.
Yeah. But you should have seen him by the end of it, mate.
He walked off and he was fine.
Phil Ford's on the corporate speaking circuit at the moment.
He wouldn't even remember the hit, Phil.
Was there any vision of this? I'll try and find it. Mm. It's finals time, and Sydney FC 7-1 against Perth Glory to finish the home and away season, and they host Macarthur Allianz Stadium, the 4v5 elimination final, Saturday evening. Joining us is their midfielder and captain, Luke Bratton. Luke, good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Appreciate your time. So overall, 12 wins, 10 losses, 5 draws. How would you describe the club's campaign this season overall?
A rollercoaster of emotions, really. We didn't start well after winning the cup in the pre-season, and then obviously change of coach. And I think since Wolfie's come in, we've sort of figured out our identity and our DNA. And if we were playing with no jerseys on, you'd know that that's Sydney FC. So that's a good thing. And then to finish fourth, I think it's a pretty good achievement in this league. It's a very tough league. So I'm proud of the boys, and I'm just ready for finals now. Mm.
Luke, we know that finals are different to regular home and away games, but what is it about your team that gives you the confidence you can go right on with it in the final series?
Just the experience, I think there's the core group of boys there. I think it's 4 or 5 players that have been in finals multiple times, won a lot of things. There's a couple others that have played at some pretty big clubs, over in England, getting promoted and stuff like that. And so just mixed with, a lot of young youth that are exciting and got a lot of energy. It's obviously, like you said, it's a different sort of kettle of fish than the season. But I think you look at Sydney FC, and if you come up against them in the finals, then you're going to be worried, I think. So for me, I'm very positive, and I'm excited, and I think we can do something special this year.
Luke, I wanted to ask you, as the skipper of the team as well, when a coach moves on, what changes in your team this year? Was it like a wake-up call? Was a new voice? What was the big reason for such a big turnaround?
You can't put your finger on one thing, I think it's multiple things. I think the first day he came in, he did a yo-yo test, which is a pretty hard fitness test. That was sort of the wake-up call and the change of mentality. And I think a few boys were just in their comfort zone. In professional sport, you can't get comfortable ever. I think fresh boys, fresh faces, a different style of play, it all contributed to where we are today. I think, obviously,
Steve Coker did a fantastic job at the club, and he's an absolute legend and won everything there is to win at the club. But yeah, I think people just got comfortable and yeah, needed a bit of a shake up. So yeah, it was good. And you know, Orphy and David Driller, the assistant, have been fantastic. I've learned so much this year off those two. Yeah, it's been a great year for me, and hopefully it can continue.
You had a 1-0 loss to MacArthur a week and a half ago, Luke, and they finished with 9 men in a pretty unusual game. But how are they unique to play against?
Yeah, they're tough. They're very off the cuff. You know, we do video on teams, and you know, this is their patterns, and this is where we can stop them, and this is where we can, you know, hurt them. And MacArthur, they're a little bit off the cuff. They're unpredictable, but you know, they've got some fantastic players as well. So, like you said, last game was a strange one. You know, it's always hard to play against 10 men, and then obviously 9 men as well, because they just sit all their players behind the ball on the edge of their box, and it's pretty hard to break down. And obviously giving them, getting their red card, and, you know, I don't think it was a red card, and that gave them motivation as well, you know, they thought everyone was against them, and you know, that gives you that extra motivation to work a little bit harder. So it's going to be a very tough game. But, you know, we'll work hard this week and figure out how to stop them.
How's the health of the squad, Luke?
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, we've got mostly everyone back. I think there's Patrick Wood who's still coming back as well. But, you know, the Oli Roos are back. The Geordie and Jake are back from Oli Roos duty, which is good. It was great to have them back in the game on the weekend. Cause, you know, the way we train, the way we play, if you go away or if you don't train for a couple of days, you know, you struggle in games because it's so physically demanding. They were away for 3 weeks and Jakey didn't really play much. So you could see that on the weekend they were a little bit rusty, and not just them, but, you know, a couple of others as well. So I think that game really helped us prepare for this weekend.
Yeah, and this time of the year you need your best players and your a full group to choose from if you're going to go deep into a final series. But also finals, mate, quickly I just want to ask. Look, we all know that it's played with a different intensity. How important is it to start fast in a semi-final?
Yeah, it's huge. Like you said, they're different finals. You know, they're sort of like the derbies. You know, everyone wants to play in them. They're huge games. There's so much on the line. And usually they're not the best footballing matches, but their entertainment spectacle is huge. And hopefully there's a huge crowd there on the weekends. And like you said, you got to start fast. So, yeah, it's going to be very exciting. And, yeah, I think, like I said before, we can go all the way, I think. So first step is MacArthur, and we need to concentrate on a good performance, and then the result will take care of itself.
Gee, it's a big day for the club on Saturday, isn't it? The women as well. Their 7th straight grand final. So it must be a great feel around the club, Luke.
Yeah, it's incredible what the women have done. You know, I don't think they get the credit they deserve. 7 grand finals in a row is ridiculous. In any league, all over the world, any sport, that's yeah, it's very... Honestly, I'm speechless. But... Yeah, it's huge for them to, you know, silverware as well. I think they've done a great job this year. Like they lost a lot of players last year, and a lot of injuries as well to obviously key players, their captain, and, you know, another Kirsty who's a really good young player coming through, and Fiona as well. So, you know, they've had a lot of injuries this year and they've dealt with it. And it's, it's pretty special to be in another grand final, and I'm definitely going to be watching theirs.
Luke, appreciate your time, and go well against MacArthur. Huge game Saturday night.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.